Our second lesson from Romans this morning really starts off by jumping into the deep end. Talks about the whole creation groaning in labor pains, and not only the creation, but we ourselves groaning as we wait for God to draw us near and redeem our bodies. That's just the beginning. Whew. So I guess we'll start by getting metaphysical real quick for the day, and then we'll move on from there. We read in this, and you may recall, last year we spent a lot of time in Paul's letter to the Romans. There were, you know, 30-some readings in the lectionary year, and we talked about them a lot on these Sundays and in our Bible studies and things. And so what we may recall, and what we're seeing here in this lesson today, is that the spiritual and the physical are entwined. They are one in each of us and also in the whole creation. You don't have like a spiritual self and an emotional self and a mental self and a body just kind of hanging around. It's all together. It's all one thing. When God sends the Spirit and when God redeems us in Christ, God redeems our whole selves. The good stuff, and also the other stuff, our doubts, our fears, our imperfections, our body, even our bodies, I guess, even when they falter and don't do what we want. All of those things God redeems as one, because you are one. And in Jesus, you are one with God. Everything that makes you you, God welcomes and blesses in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus and in the coming of the Holy Spirit and the whole creation. Woo. All right, I'm not going to go too far with that. Could go on and on. We're going to move on to the next part of our reading from Romans. And to do that, I need to backtrack a little bit. This is the section of our reading on hope. And of course, this is Hope Church. Hi, Hope Church. You may have heard, or maybe it's just me who hears about it all the time, how our synod is having a capital campaign. And the capital campaign is called Planting Hope. And last weekend was our synod assembly, and themed around, it had the introduction of the capital campaign. So the synod assembly was themed Waiting in Hope. And as the pastor of Hope Church, I just felt like it was a nonstop, like, dad joke pun fest for me, you know? Like, well, of course we're waiting in hope. Where else would Hope Church wait? You know, just like silly nonsense. Like, I just can't. I did like one of those jokes in the chat in the Synod Assembly, and then I stopped myself because I have some restraint. But it's just, you know, it's just constant. And, you know, I also am keeping in mind that, you know, I am supposed to be starting a new church or planting a new church. And currently it's known officially to the ELCA as Hope Church New Start. Like Hope New Start. So I am literally planting hope. That's like the job I have. I feel like I've been here almost 3 years now, and Justin Graham and the bishop are getting tired of waiting for me, and so they're very passive-aggressively naming an entire capital campaign to remind me to do the job they hired me to do. That's what it feels like to me. But again, maybe I should just talk to my therapist about that. But the point is, I keep hearing about hope, and seeing about hope, and like making these odd connections to our own congregation. So I'm doing that again today, that same sort of awkwardness with our lesson when Paul starts writing about hope. And again, he writes, "For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." In hope we were saved. I'm sure some of you were saved in Hope Church right here. I have no doubt that that is the case. And then it talks about hope that is seen is not hope. And it talks for the hope that we do not see. And of course, I think of this entire past year when many of us haven't seen each other more than maybe a handful of times for an entire year and plus extra months. This pandemic has gone on, and we're kind of coming out of it now here, and we're just tiptoeing out to figure it out. But this is, you know, we have literally been the hope that is not seen for a year or so. And even more than that, I was thinking about those of us who, even when we join these Zoom meetings, we can hear, but we can't actually see your faces. I'm thinking about Ken and Lillian and Jimmy and, you know, Judy Munkelwicht and like Schillers were doing it some. And some of the rest of you have done this as well, calling in, or those of you whose cameras don't work, like Martin and Jack or whatever. And so we see your names, but we can't actually see you. You are the hope that is not seen. And we rejoice in your presence, and we believe in you just as we believe in the hope of God. And we give thanks for you being among us in the way that you can. And like I say, I feel like this scripture is in this awkward way speaking about you and your faithfulness and the way that you've come through this time. I'm talking to all of you. We are the hope that is not seen. We are the hope that we've been waiting for with patience, patiently protecting ourselves and one another from this disease, not rushing back and getting each other sick. And I'm grateful, sincerely grateful for that. We're just going to start doing some of that here even as soon as this week. So we'll see what that looks like. Our lesson goes on. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. This beautiful bit of poetry that Paul wrote has spoken to people for generations, for centuries. And it particularly resonates with me in this time, in this year, because I think how many times in the last year, or year and a half even, has the Spirit interceded for us with sighs too deep for words? Think of all that we've lost as a society, as individuals, as a community. Think of all that we have been through. The pandemic, I mean, hundreds of thousands, over 500,000 dead in this country and counting, although it's slowed down and we're grateful for that. But India, oh my goodness, there's places around the world where this pandemic is still raging. And the variants, you know, it could produce mutant variants of the virus that could come back and hurt us again. So this is not over, this pandemic. And so many sighs and so few words that we can use to express what we've been through together. Also, this week on Tuesday, just 2 days from now, will be the 1 year anniversary of the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And you all are aware of what that has meant for Minneapolis, for the greater Twin Cities community, for the entire country, and really the whole world. A new wave. A new tide, really, of action for racial justice, of protest and prayer and organizing. A new, you know, it's happened again and again in our lifetimes. We go through periods where it kind of dies down, and then it always comes back because this country is built on, in part, on lies like racism. And so we can't get rid of them. We have to keep facing them and keep doing the work to try to build a more just and equitable society. And we believe that work is not only like for the civic good, but is also part of the gospel, because you can't just go around having some people be worse than others because of economic conditions, because of things that aren't their fault. That's not how the church is supposed to work, and that's not how the church wants our world to work. And so we love and care for our neighbor. And to live where we do, when we do, loving and caring for our neighbor means looking to those who are Black and those who are of Asian descent, because Lord knows the racism around that, around the virus and things too, and so many others. We need to look to those who are different from us and recognize whether there's something we can do to be a good neighbor, to care for those around us. The Spirit has interceded in these things, again, with sighs too deep for words, when we don't know what to say, when we don't know what to do. And that has been a common experience for me in the last year. The Spirit is there with us and for us, carrying us and expressing to God what we need to express, even if we can't find the words. And when we make connections with others, with our neighbors, with our friends, even in this time of pandemic, even as difficult as that is, when we make those connections, when we demonstrate that we care about other people, that we're looking out for them, that we provide what we can, the Spirit builds the connection between us. Even if we don't know what to say to my neighbor, if I treat them with kindness and welcome and empathy, the Spirit will communicate that, even if I don't know what to say. I mean, think about last week, last Sunday here. I thought about making this whole sermon today, just be like, Pentecost, last week we had all those awesome Japanese folks join us. It was like Pentecost, and have that be the whole sermon. But I decided I should probably talk about the actual scriptures and do my actual job instead. So we're doing that. But remember, Pastor Kaz was here, and we had to be like 35 different people at least connected from Japan. At 11:30 at night, their time is when church started. They were up till after midnight to join us for worship and prayer. And that was absolutely the work of the Holy Spirit. I think it was Larry this week who said, can't we just do that all the time? Can't we get churches from all around the world and pair up and have Zoom meetings with them? It's like church-level pen pals on video chat. This is, what world do we live? What year is it? I feel like we live in a sci-fi novel. Sometimes the happy kind and sometimes the sad kind. The Spirit, but think about, I mean, honestly, think of how the Spirit last week bridged the language barrier, bridged the cultural divide, bridged the time zone to draw these communities together. I got a couple of nice notes of thanks to the church Facebook page from some of those folks, and they talked about how they'd been doing church, you know, mostly watching on YouTube, but it wasn't interactive like ours was, and they loved, you know, doing the creed and the Lord's Prayer all together in this cacophonous way that we do it, that we take for granted, but really is the work of the Holy Spirit. And some people did that in Japanese, and it was beautiful, and it was awesome. Because we can express our unity in Christ without having to be uniform, our unity without being in unison. And that is truly the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not trying to make us the same. The Holy Spirit is trying to make us each flourish in our own way and to draw us all together as who we are, exactly who we are, redeemed and beloved by God, so that we can go out and be the church in the world for one another. Finally, just make the obvious point, as is made in our lesson, that the Spirit is a gift of God to us, a gift of pure grace. The Spirit and the Spirit being with us in grace is the will of God, as Paul writes it today. Sometimes this Spirit will shake us up, will move us out of our comfort zone, will drag us to places we don't want to be. Other times, this Spirit will comfort us, will cradle us, will care for us and protect us and be a balm for us. The Spirit knows what we need, even when we don't know it. And most importantly, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is God, sent to be with us forever, to lead us and to guide us, to be our advocate. This Spirit will lead us into God's future. And that is particularly poignant this year, in this time, in this Hope Church. Because the hope that we hope for is not yet seen. The hope that we hope for is new. It's not from us, it's from God. And the Spirit is leading us into that. I believe that in this year, 2021, Hope Church will trust in the Holy Spirit more than it has in 100 years. And I'm grateful that you're on that journey with me. Amen.